Go with me to Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to read to you from verse 11 through verse 23. I'm not going to talk about the elder son, I'm going to talk about the younger son. So most of the time we come to the prodigal son, it's the prodigal father. The focus is on the father. Obviously this is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. But happy Father's Day to our Heavenly Father. And I want to celebrate him with you this morning. So Luke chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus' word. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. And he would gladly have... that's a repeating of the verse. Go to verse 18. And I will rise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And our Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God. You are our creator. You are our sustainer. You are our Lord. Lord, you have knit us together in our mother's wombs, and you have given us life, life of spirit, soul, and body. And Lord God, you sustain the very beat within our hearts and the very breath within our lungs. And you are our King, the King of glory. And we praise you, Lord God. We praise you that we know you. We praise you that we can call you not only Father, but Abba, Dad, in an affectionate, Lord, and deeply heartfelt way. We thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, you have poured your love out upon us. And we thank you, Father, that we're going to spend an eternity in your glorious house. And, Father, we praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus this morning. I'm going to show you a quick video, and this is Philip from Philip Yancey's book, where he talks about the prodigal daughter. And this is a remake of that scene.
This is my body, okay? If I want to dye my hair or put a ring to my nose, that's my choice.
Not a child.
Understand who you are.
You're not listening to me.
That led to desperation and mistakes and misplaced trust.
Hey!
Some of the pain was your own doing. Some of the pain was caused by others.
It's okay.
Who took advantage of you.
Get whatever you want.
I think I like the
just
red.
Both.
Thank you.
What is that?
What's what?
What is that?
I don't
and if
know.
You find yourself you rejected
Let's go.
Or lost,
Let's go.
Know there is something better.
Stop. Let go of me. Stop.
When you feel alone, listen for my voice. You are not alone.
Mom. Dad. It's me. I was wondering about maybe coming home. I'm catching a bus up your way, and it'll get there early tomorrow morning. If you're not there, that's fine. I mean, I'll just stay on the bus, I guess.
Come by fire, come by rain.
Never run too far, or shout too loud, or be gone so long that you can't find your way home.
Just tell me I'll be seeing you again.
See the prodigal daughter. If that don't make you cry, I don't know what will, right? So the story, you have this son, and he goes to his father, and he says, I want my inheritance. He's the younger son. The younger son was entitled to 1/3 of the inheritance. The older son was entitled to 2/3 of the inheritance. But when is an inheritance given? At death. So he goes to his father, and what he's basically saying to his father, I wish you were dead. You know, drop dead. And it is an act of an incredibly ungrateful, selfish, he's a brat. Now, it's a picture of people who have resisted the love of the father, they have rejected the love of the father, and they have rebelled against the love of the father. And basically, they have eliminated the father from their life. His goodness, his love, his blessings, his presence. Now, if you were there with Jesus when this is happening and you're hearing him tell the story, the first thing you're going to think is the father is just going to totally reject the son and disown him. You know, get out of my house. I'm not giving you anything. But instead, the father gives his inheritance to his son. 1/3. And he frees him. And that is what the father does with us. He frees us. He gives us much. He gives us potential. He gives us time. He gives us opportunity. The question is, what will you do with it? So the kid takes the inheritance, and it says he went far off. He went far away from his father. He wanted to get as far away from his father as he could. As far away from his father's presence, as far away from his father's will, as far away as from his father's way. And he goes off to this far country, and he takes up with a bunch of worldly people. And it doesn't really tell us, he squandered it. It doesn't tell us how he did it, but I guess we get a good idea from, just from our own knowledge about our own lives and the lives of others. But he lives his life. You know, he parties, and he squanders the inheritance. And maybe, you know, it's wine, women, and the world. The elder brother, who I'm not going to again talk about today, but when the father went to the elder brother in the story, and the elder brother's angry that his younger brother, he's taken the inheritance and he squandered it. His older brother accuses him of squandering it on prostitutes. And I look at that and I wonder if that it was something he was envious of his brother. Maybe that's what he wanted to do. So the boy goes out, and again, he blows the entire inheritance until he is absolutely broke. He squanders the inheritance, and he's in a place where he's broke, he's broken, and literally he's beaten. And so in his hunger, in his need, he goes to a pig farmer and hires himself out to the pig farmer. And in Jesus' day, again, pigs were unclean. In the book of Leviticus, under the law of Moses, pork was unclean. It was a forbidden meat. In fact, you ever wonder why Jesus cast the demons into the swine? Because there were not supposed to be swine in that, you know, in that area. The dirtiness and the filthiness of pigs, and I'm going to rain down on those of you who like pork, but pigs carry trichinosis, tapeworm, and a number of other diseases. Okay, you remember the bird flu? The bird flu is being transferred from birds to pigs to humans. You know, why did that happen? Well, the birds, they poop everywhere. Do you ever notice that birds poop everywhere? They poop on your car, they'll poop on your head. I mean, they poop everywhere. And what happens is they would poop in the area that the pigs would eat, and the pigs would eat the slop, and that's how the bacteria would go from the birds into the pigs, and then when people would eat pigs, they get bacteria. Now, again, if you're going to eat pork, just make sure you cook it really thoroughly through, because you need to kill all the bacteria that's in it. So I'm not here to rain down. My son-in-law, John, would be very upset if I told him he couldn't eat pork, okay? So you have here, again, he hires himself. He's a Jew. And he hires himself out to care for pigs on a pig farm. And it gets so bad, he becomes so deprived, so depraved, that he begins to lust after the food that the pigs are eating. And if you know what pigs eat, they eat garbage. They eat scraps. It's rotten, it's dirty, it's filthy. And this kid, who's again, he was the son of this great father. And now he's pursuing and lusting after pig food. And it's a picture of the absolute destitute poverty that a person can experience. You know, we sometimes, you ever see people go low? Oh man, how low can they go? Let me tell you, a lot lower than most of them think. You know, I see people say, people have said to me through the years, I've hit rock bottom, Pastor. A couple of months later, man, they didn't even realize what rock bottom was. And this kid now, I mean, he's in the depths. He is as low as you can go. And the passage says that he came to himself. So what that means is he was enlightened. He began to think rationally. You know about the left side and the right side of the brain. The left side is the logical side. The right side is the emotional side. You need to learn to use both sides of your brain. Some people operate emotionally all the time. And it just puts them, I mean, they make a mess of their lives. They just make a mess of their lives operating emotionally instead of, again, using that logical side. Well, he's starting to use his logical side, and he comes to himself, and essentially what he's looking at, he's saying, look at where I am. Look at the mess that I've made of my life. I'm hungering for pigs. I'm living in a pig pen. And he experiences a wake-up call. He becomes illuminated. And he says to himself, I'd be better off in my father's house as a slave than where I am right now. So he begins to make his long journey home. And it's a journey of repentance. He prepares a message. He prepares a literal asking his father for forgiveness. And he says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." So he's coming home, and when he is still quite a ways away, the passage says, while he was still far off, the father sees him. Now let's move away from the son to the father. What does that tell us about the father? While he was still a ways off, his father sees him. Which tells me that the father was sitting there looking across the horizon, looking at that road, and he was waiting for his son to come back. He was longing for his son to come back. Now, in the context of Luke chapter 15, there are three parables. There's the parable of the good shepherd, the lost coin, and the, we call it the prodigal son or the prodigal father. And if you think about the good shepherd, what did Jesus say about the good shepherd? The good shepherd, he will leave the 99 to pursue that one lost sheep. And it tells us God is in the business of pursuing lost sinners. He pursues the lost. Hey, as long as you desire the heart that you have to see people that you love saved, it's greater in the heart of God. God desires for people to be saved. He desires to save people and bring them back to him. So he tells again the story of the lost sheep and how that good shepherd leaves. He risks life and limb to go out and find that lost sheep. And then he tells the story about the woman who lost the coin. And that coin, it's a precious coin that they would give to the women at their wedding day. And they would wear it in a necklace, a number of coins on their neck. And it was very precious, like a wedding ring. And she lost the coin and she turns the house upside down. Every piece of furniture. Have you ever lost something precious? A number of years ago, I took my wife's wedding ring and I was going to bring it to the jeweler. And there was something that had to be fixed on it. And I thought I put it in my desk at the office, and somehow I lost it. All I can tell you is when I realized I lost it, I turned the house upside down. I turned my car upside down. I turned my office upside down trying to find that ring, and I never found it. I did redeem myself a number of years later when I bought my wife a new ring. It was a bigger ring. It was a better ring. It was a heavier ring. And I presented it right here to her and proposed to her again, right here on the altar. And I redeemed myself. Because I was in the doghouse for those years that... But when you lose something precious, how about this? Have you ever lost a child? Just lost them for... You didn't know where they were, and you were looking for them. So a number of years ago, we had a barbecue at the house. We had people from the church. We had friends and family there. Frankie was about 4 years old, about the size of Giancarlo, my grandson. And we were celebrating, and the kids were playing, and all of a sudden, we were like, "Where's Frankie?" And at first, it was just, you know, where is he? Maybe he's up in his room. We go up in his room and look. Maybe he's down the basement and look. We're looking around the house, walk around the front of the house. Where is he? We don't find him. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Now, you start to get worried. Now everybody is walking around the house, the neighborhood, crying out, "Hey, Frankie. And I'm walking through the street and I got tears coming down my face. And of course, you're thinking the worst. And we come back. I'm just getting ready to call the police. And I come back and everybody had gone back into the backyard, and I'm coming back around the house and I'm passing these bushes and I hear him in the bushes and he's crying. And I go over and I look at him and it's like he was afraid when he heard everybody screaming his name. He thought he had done something wrong. And he's hiding in the bushes. And so I picked him up in my arms. And I'm just hugging him and loving him. And again, tears coming down my face. My wife comes running over. She's hugging him. Chrissy and Rachel come over. They're hugging him. My mother and father come over. They're hugging him. We're just hugging him. Why? Because he was lost and now he's found. But I mean, searching for him with that passion. You know, God puts his father's love into the heart of a mother and father. And sometimes that involves brokenness, the same pain that he experiences. We get a taste of that with a child who, you know, becomes prodigal. And we get that brokenness over that hunger to see that child come back. And that is the beauty of the Lord living in our hearts. So the boy decides he's going to come back. The father sees him from a distance. What does the father do next? The father runs to him. And if you understand, again, in Jesus' day, it was very undignified for, you know, for a person in authority, a person in leadership to run. They didn't have marathons. They didn't run 5Ks. People weren't jogging on the streets. And for a man to run with what he was wearing, and that picture doesn't do, that picture really doesn't depict, he would have had to pull his outer garment between his legs with his tunic, tie it up, and that's how he would run. But that's the excitement, that's the enthusiasm, that's the picture of a person taking a step back towards God and God running back to us, our Father running back to us. And he comes to him, and what does it tell us? He embraces him. He literally falls upon his neck and kisses him. If you look at that picture, that is where God wants us to live. In the embrace of his eternal grace. Now, I want you just to look for a second at the sun. The sun is filthy. The sun is in rags. He has no shoes. He stinks like a pig. And the father falls upon him, and he begins to kiss his dirty neck. You ever see a dirty neck? Have you ever get neck? You ever work outside, and you're working out, and you're working in the dirt, and remember when we were building this building? I mean, there was so much glory. You remember when we were building this building? There was so much dirt. Lenny, you remember that? I mean, we'd leave here, and I would have like dirt in my wrinkles, and then in my wrinkles. I mean, we were covered with soot and dirt and sweat. It was in my eyes. It was in my, I mean, this place was just, it was a dust ball. Well, this kid comes back, and he's filthy. He stinks. And his father falls upon his neck in his love, and he begins to kiss his neck. And then what does he do? Give him a new garment. Cover him with a robe. He's in filthy rags right now. And what is it a picture of? It's a picture of when we come to Jesus, how he covers us with his righteous robes. And he covers our sin, and he covers our shame, and he covers our guilt. And then he says, put a ring on his finger. And this is just not an average ring. This is a signet ring. That's a signet ring right there. And that is the crest of the family. And what he's doing is, by putting that signet ring back on his son, he's restoring his son. It's an adoption. He's adopting his son back into the family. That's what happens to us when we come to the Lord. We are adopted. Romans chapter 8, we become the adopted sons and heirs through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he puts the signet ring back on his finger, and that basically restores him. He's given now all the rights of a son that he had before he left. And essentially, that two-thirds inheritance that's going to the older brother, he's now going to get a third of that. You know what we call that? That's grace. And then he says, put shoes on his feet. And the kid comes back, and he's probably barefoot. And that was a picture. To have no shoes was to really appear to be destitute, to be in poverty. So you go to Egypt. When we've done our trips to Israel, we'll go to the pyramids in Egypt, and we go by this massive dump. I mean, it's literally like a mile by a mile. And you see the little kids digging through the garbage, no shoes. So he comes back in this place of being destitute, and the father says, put shoes on him, and he's restoring him. He's giving him dignity. It's a picture, again, of peace, the shoes of peace from Ephesians 6. He's at peace now with his father. And then he says, kill the fattened calf. This is filet mignon. This isn't Burger King. This isn't hot dogs. This is the best of the best. It's the abundance of God, the fattened calf. And he throws a party for him, a feast, because this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and he is found. So I'm going to show you one more video. And this is a video. Some of you older people, you may not get this. The kids will get this. Tell Giancarlo, he wants to watch this video. Stephanie, you will like this video. Hi, girls. But this is a picture of the prodigal son. Then I'm going to just wrap it up, but
now you're found, welcome home. You've returned to safe ground, welcome home. What was dead is alive, come and stay in our home. Welcome home, welcome home.
The last passage of Luke chapter 15:23, it says, "For this My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. And the place where God wants us to live is in that embrace of his loving grace. And that is the place that we should always be pursuing to be in. It is the place of his great love. Just as you love your children, imagine multiplying that love by a trillion times. That is the love that the Father has for each and every one of you. You know, we experience, again, that heart of God. He gives us a taste of that love for our children. Let's just tell you, just this, I say this for my children and my grandchildren. It's how they become such a part of you. And this past week, my daughter Chrissy had called us, and our granddaughter B was, she was experiencing, she has viral pneumonia. And then she went to this clinic, and the doctor scared the heck out of my daughter by saying that she could likely have the coronavirus that is affecting these little kids and is very serious. Needless to say, she doesn't. But, you know, just you have them in your heart, and you carry them in your heart, and you ache, and you experience that pain for them. You do whatever you can to help them. Well, again, multiply that by a trillion times. That's the love of God, the love of the Father. And that's, again, where he wants us to live, in his embrace of his loving grace. I pray if you're not there, come there today. Come to Jesus. And by coming to Jesus, you will come to the Father. Let him wash away all your sins. Let him put a new robe on you. Let him put that signet ring of sonship upon your finger. Let him put new shoes of peace on your feet. Let him give to you his abundance. Let him feed you with the fattened calf. And in your heart say, hey, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. And that is a blessed place to be. So I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads. I'm going to bring up the worship leaders in a second. And then they will lead us in a final song. And then Chris Figueroa will come up and he will dismiss you. God bless you all. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you that we can call you Father. We thank you that we can call you Abba. I do pray, Lord God, this morning that if there's anyone who's watching this, anyone, Lord God, who's here this morning, they need to come in to your embrace of your loving grace, that they would do that, knowing that they can come freely through the very death and resurrection of Jesus, can receive forgiveness, Lord, and could be restored to that wonderful place of sonship, where all the privilege, Lord God, and the rights have been given, Lord God, and imparted to them. Bless the body of Christ here at Living Word Community Church, Lord God. Make us strong, and we give you all the glory this morning and all the praise. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.